We have so many that we need to pray for, but we have also so many that are doing better, and it's so good to see them back out and being able to be with us. Very thankful to hear Dennis Roadfox be able to lead singing again. Good to have him with us this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given me to speak this morning and to share a lesson from God's Word, and I hope this lesson will be of help to you and encouragement to you. Our text this morning is going to come from John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll be doing quite a bit of reading this morning in our Bibles. We'll begin with John chapter 1. Read verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light." I want to focus your attention this morning on verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. I've entitled the lesson this morning, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And I want us to consider this morning this man sent from God. This man that was sent to prepare the hearts of the people for Christ to come. And I want us to look at some of the characteristics and the attributes of this great man. There's so much that we can learn by looking at great Bible characters. And it's that way with this man. This was a great man. In fact, so much so that Jesus tells us in Matthew 11 there, in verse 11, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." That's an amazing statement that Jesus makes here concerning John. That there's not arisen anyone born of women greater than this man. And yet at the same time to say, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does that mean? What's Jesus saying? John lived under the old law, under the law of Moses. And under the old law, there was that constant reminder of sins, year after year after year. The law of Moses was intended to make people very aware of their sins and their need for something, better, their need for a Savior. It looked forward to that time when Christ would come. The Hebrew writer, over and over again, uses that word "better" to describe what we have now in Christ. We have a better or a greater covenant, better hope, better promises. And I think that's the idea that under the new covenant that we're under the law of Christ, we have something greater, something better than John. But in the sense of purpose and in the sense of accomplishment and attributes, Jesus says there's none greater than this man. And so this morning I'd like us to briefly look at seven characteristics that made John so great, things that we can learn from and emulate. First, John was sent by God for a great purpose. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 1 that an angel appeared to Zacharias and told him that he and Elizabeth would have a son, and he was to name him John. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, the angel said, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him, and the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John had a great purpose: to prepare the hearts of the people and make them ready for the coming of Christ. His message was a message of repentance, to repent and get your heart ready, because Christ, the Savior, is coming. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." His message was a message of repentance. Get ready, because the Christ is coming. John tells us in John 1 and verse 29, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" That was John's purpose: to prepare the way for Christ. It was a very great purpose. Secondly, John had godly parents. His parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, are described in Luke chapter 1. They're in verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord." Zacharias and Elizabeth were both righteous, walking blamelessly in all the commandments. And these godly parents must have had a tremendous influence on John's life. The value of being godly parents in shaping and influencing our children to be faithful children of God is immeasurable. The wise man said in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I know sometimes we look at this passage and we say, well, there are exceptions to that. But this is a true general principle. And it's what godly parents do. They train up their children in the way they should go. And that's what Zacharias and Elizabeth did. And those godly parents helped to shape John to be the great man that he was, the forerunner of Christ. John denied himself. The indulgences and distractions of the world, they had no place in John's life. The Bible tells us the Word of God came to John in the wilderness. John lived in the solitude of the desert, in the wilderness of Judea. Nancy and I had an opportunity to go to the Bible Lands and see that area. And this is what we saw. This is the wilderness of Judea. It's very desolate, very rugged country. There were people living there even today. These people were called Bedouins, very, very poor people. They raise sheep or just do the best they can to survive. Very, very simple life. These are the mountains of Judea. They're in the wilderness. Very rugged country. You can see there's a little stream flowing there in the forefront. There's some bushes there. But again, very desolate country. John lived in the desert of Judea. The Bible says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This man sent from God, whose name was John, he was an unusual man. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He must have been a remarkable man, because we're told that all Jerusalem and Judea came out into the wilderness to hear him preach, and they were being baptized by him. When John was in prison on account of Herodias, Jesus began to speak about John to the multitude. And Jesus said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But what did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. What did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man dressed in soft clothing? Jesus said, that's not John. The indulgences of this world had no place in John's life. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's no question that that's what John did. John denied himself. I'm not saying that we need to dress like John or eat like John. Forbid that. But we ought to be willing to deny ourselves and to make sacrifices for God and for his kingdom, for his people. It's one of the things that made John great in the eyes of God. John was humble. He was bold, but he was humble. When the multitudes of people were coming to John and were being baptized by him, the Jewish religious leaders, they questioned him. They questioned his authority for what he was doing. John chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny. He confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. They said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Some thought that Elijah was going to be literally raised from the dead based on Malachi chapter 4. But Jesus explained. He said, if you are willing to receive it, John is Elijah who is to come. It's talking about John. John was not literally Elijah, but John came in the power and the spirit and the likeness of Elijah. John said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. That's what he had to say about himself. It's amazing. It's as if to say, he's saying, who I am is of no consequence. Who I am is not important. But what I am saying is of the utmost importance and pointing the way to Christ. John made it clear that there was one coming that was far greater than he was. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. We see John's humility again when Jesus came to be baptized by John in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says, but John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. On another occasion, when Jesus had begun his ministry, some of John's disciples came to him and said, John, your disciples, they're leaving you. They're following Jesus. And the Bible says that he rejoiced. And he said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Even as his time in the spotlight, his time of popularity was coming to an end, John remained humble. James 4 and verse 6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's what John did. It made him great in the eyes of God. Yet John was a man of great courage and conviction. John's message was not a wishy-washy message. John was not an agnostic. He did not tell people what he did not know. He didn't say, well, I just don't know what you should do about your sin. That wasn't John. John's message was a message of repentance, to turn from your sin and to turn toward God. In Luke chapter 3, there in verse 10, we're told that the multitudes were questioning John and saying, then what shall we do? And it reminds me a lot of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that sermon and the people were pierced to the heart. They were convicted and they said, what shall we do? The multitudes were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none. And let him who has food do likewise. Then the tax collectors came to him to be baptized. And they said, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force, or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. John courageously told people what they needed to hear. Tax collectors, soldiers, and even the Jewish religious leaders of his time. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. John even had the courage to tell the truth even to the king, King Herod himself. In Mark 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John was a man of great conviction and courage that ultimately cost him his life. John knew how to be content. His food was locusts and wild honey. His clothes were very simple, a garment of camel's hair. John lived in the solitude of the desert. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, and in verse 6, godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. And that's a good lesson for all of us, isn't it? To learn to be content. May not come natural. But rather than to look at all the things we don't have and wish we had, rather than do that, it's so much better to look at all that we do have and thank God that we're so blessed. John learned to be content with just a little bit. And that's because John lived for the life to come. He lived for the life to come. The indulgences and distractions of this world had no place in his life. His affections were on the things above, in living for that better life to come. And that made John great in the eyes of God. So how about us? Are we living for that better life to come? The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, said, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for everything, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I've heard that the number one resolution people make for the new year is to exercise more. To exercise more, to do more bodily exercise. And Paul's saying that's good. That's a good thing. It will profit a little. But godliness, spiritual exercise, is far, far better. So let's not forget to set some spiritual goals this new year. spiritual goals like being better parents, better children, to be willing to deny ourselves, to be humble and yet courageous, people of conviction, to be content with what we have, and to live for that better life to come. Good goals for this year. That's our lesson this morning. If you'd like to take a songbook, and we're going to be singing an invitation song in just a moment. Just a moment. John's life was far too short. Murdered by the sinister plan of a vindictive adulteress. And that's hard to think about. We didn't read about that. But it's hard to think about the way this great man, this man sent from God, died. But it's a reminder to us that life is precious. And life is fragile. And it's unpredictable. We do not know what a day will bring forth. James says our life is like a vapor that's here for just a little while and then vanishes away. So if there's something that you need to do to be right with God, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we would encourage you to do that. Or if you need to make correction in some way, we encourage you to do that. And encourage you to do that today. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." If we can be of assistance to anyone this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing the song selected.